Every now and then, the Holy Spirit will give you a very unusual message. He'll give you a very important message. And I think that this is one of those messages that, in my personal opinion, is extremely important, not only for me to share with you, but also for the body of Christ, considering the things that ministers and church people or Christians are going through. And I titled this, Exposing Four Things That Almost Destroyed Me. Now, I don't have a particular text because I could have gone to four or five scriptures and shared this with you, a certain text, but I want to show you a picture. If we have that picture, and these are pictures of our family and different relatives. Now, I want to tell you something. Say this with me. Bad things happen to good people. And this is a little story of our family history. My granddad Stone, up in the upper left, was almost killed in a coal mining accident in Bartley No. 1 when it exploded many years ago. My grandmother's first husband, grandmother is the second person, of course, from the left top row. Grandma Stone was married to Arthur Ball, and Arthur Ball was killed in a hunting accident when he tripped over a log and it killed him. His shotgun went off. And she actually had a major nervous breakdown as a result of this. But I'm telling you, she was one of the sweetest persons that you've ever met in your entire life. My father, Fred Stone, when he was born in West Virginia during the month of February in the winter, the midwife was delivered him and wrapped him up in a blanket and walked out of the house saying, "This is my baby, this is my baby." And it was snowing and it was cold, and Dr. Hatfield was on a horse now coming up the hollow there, as they call it, and they caught the midwife with my dad. Had she gone in the snow, she lived like a mile away, he would have froze to death and he would have died. So he was nearly kidnapped when he was born. Then my mother had a car accident when I was a little boy. It broke her jaw, broke her knee, her head went through the windshield. But in later life, at age 40, she gave birth to Melanie, my sister. And we received a call on that Sunday that she was bleeding severely in the hospital. And she remembers going out of her body and looking up from the ceiling down at the doctor that was delivering the child and trying to stop the bleeding. And the doctor cursed a little bit, and one of the nurses dropped something on the floor, and he was cursing her out. When Mama came out and told the doctor where she was and what she saw, he just looked at her and said, "Well, I've heard of things like this." But she could have died, actually, but God spared her. I was almost killed in a car accident at age 3, a possible plane crash years later. There's been about 3 times in our life when my life could have been taken, but God miraculously spared that. Pam, of course, my precious wife, has had things that have happened, such as me leaving my slippers in the dark on the floor here, tripping over them, falling. And you didn't break your rotator cuff, did you break it? She broke her shoulder. She had cancer that's caught at the early stages, breast cancer, and thankfully they caught that. She's had knee replacement surgery. She's had shingles. She's had shingles aftermath for 2.5 years. And so we know, and actually Pam had a miscarriage at age 39. Some of you are familiar with that. So we've all been through these things. Pam's mom, who was my mother-in-law, was a really crazy woman. She was funny. She was funny to be around. She cleaned house. If she saw a speck of dirt, she's going to get something out and take it off the floor, you know. She was a fantastic lady, but when she divorced Pam's daddy, she had an emotional breakdown and had to get treatment for an emotional breakdown. Of course, my cousin Lulu, a lot of you know the story about that. I was FaceTiming her about Amanda getting a car, and 2.5 hours later, she was killed in Elkins, West Virginia, when a man ran a red light going 55 miles an hour in a truck carrying 9 cows. And it just decimated the entire side of her car. And me, they don't have a picture. They got a little picture of me over there, a little me, a little mini me over there when I was a little boy. That's me. That's me. Look how cute I was. Notice how I said that, past tense. So that was me as a little boy living in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. And I have had numerous physical challenges, as some of you have, emotional challenges and things of this nature. Now, let me say this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, one of the wisest men to ever live was King Solomon. And he said this: there's a time of peace, a time of war. He said there's a time to love, there's a time of hate, there's a time to live, there's a time to die. There's a time to speak, and there is a time to be silent. Speaking, everybody can do that. But the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is when you have something you feel like you want to say and God won't let you say it. And it's called Keeping Silent in the Midst of the Trial. I may bring that out a little bit later on, perhaps. In life's challenges, and I want to talk to you for a moment about this, because there are several decisions you're going to make that are important. The decision of serving Christ is your number one decision. The second greatest decision will be whom you marry. You've got to marry the person that is in the will of God for your life, or you could have problems down the road. The third decision that's your greatest decision is to have children. Children will change your life. People used to ask me, what'd you do before you had children? She said, sleep. And of course, your children have grandchildren, and that's such a wonderful thing. So there are certain things that are major decisions in your life. Now, let's talk about this for a moment of life's biggest challenge. This is something I have learned through years of experience. When God wants to bless you personally, He brings somebody into your life. He will bring a businessman. He will bring a person that's knowledgeable in an area that you need. He will bring a builder. He will bring an individual that will volunteer, that will be able to put the volunteers together. When God wants to bless you, He will place a person in your life, because it says in the Bible, when you give, it's given back to you. Men, and that's men and women both, give to your bosom. That means they simply are put in your life to give to you and to be a help to you. So if God wants to bless you, He sends a Boaz to Ruth. He sends a Joseph to Egypt to spare the family. He sends a Daniel to Babylon to prove that God exists. So when He wants to bless you, now let's flip the coin around on the other end. If Satan wants to hinder you, He'll put a person in your life. He'll put a Judas in your life that will betray you. He will put a Demas in your life that you depend on, that forsakes you for the world, that Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And here's the thing that I have learned. If Satan cannot succeed by using a person, now pay very careful attention to this, but if Satan cannot succeed by using a Judas or using a Demas or something of that nature, here's what happens. He will make work your bondage. He will make work become your bondage. Can I say it this way? If you're in ministry, and I've heard ministers say this, that they got so caught up with ministry, they had to be so busy in ministry that they forsook their family, not on purpose, but they had no time. Ministry became their mistress. Thank you, Brian. Give me an amen. I can't get an amen out of this crowd. I'm trying to find some help up in this place. Tony Scott told me one time, he said this, Perry, he said, I want you to remember, the devil cannot kill you. Because Satan does not have the keys of death. Satan does not have the keys of hell. Death is controlled only by Christ. He has our appointment of when we're going. The devil can't kill you, but here's what he said. But you can kill yourself. You can kill yourself by not taking care of yourself. You can kill yourself slowly by not eating properly. You can kill yourself slowly by having habits that are tearing your liver and your lungs apart. So I want you to remember this. Jesus has the keys of death and hell. So I would never fear like, I think the devil's going to kill me. Forget that mess. Forget that. But you can do harm to yourself. And many times, I'm going to preach an old message right here. Let me make a statement. I'm not going to preach it. Sometimes it ain't the devil, it's you. Joyce Meyer would say it this way. It's you and your big mouth. So I want to say something to you. And let's begin right here. Let's begin about 2019 to the year of 2021. 2019 through the year of 2021 was about a three-year period when the COVID virus struck the entire world. The entire world was basically shut down. In the United States of America, there were 340 million people that live in the United States. Out of the 340 million people, COVID struck 111 million individuals. That's 111 million cases. Almost one-third of the United States was struck down, individuals with the COVID virus. And there was a total of 1,219,487 deaths that were a direct result to COVID. Now, when you're a person like me, or you have that, they call it a double A personality, just going nonstop, you will discover that work becomes what you enjoy if it's something you do enjoy. And you overdo it. So here I am prior to COVID. This is a fact. My wife is on the front row. Charlie is in the back. I have staff members here that will verify what I'm saying. My entire life, when I tell people that I have over 170,000 hours of Bible study, I've had people write me and say that's impossible. They don't know my lifestyle. I can tell you that for 7 years when I worked on that Bible, I literally put 16 hours a day of study to the point that I would forget to go to lunch. Pam can tell you, for years and years and years, when I come home, what did I come home with, honey? I came home with a laptop. She's nodding. What did I do? I sat in our little room there. It's our room off the side of our bedroom. Has two chairs. I would pull a table out, and I would continue to work when I got home from 6 o'clock after I ate till 12 midnight and sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning for 7 years. So when people look at me and they say, there's no way a human being has 170,000 hours of either studying the Bible, studying the Word, reading books, you just don't know. We sat down and calculated it, and that's how we came up with that number from the age of 16. So here's what I want to say. If you go to the VOE warehouse, and we have some pictures here of some of our warehouses, you will discover this, that we have all sorts of books. We have over 100 books. We have DVDs. We had CDs. We have Bibles, and this is just a few pictures of many that we could take. That middle picture is a massive warehouse. It looks like when you're at one end of it, the size of a football field, and it is stacked three levels with materials and resources that have been put into existence. Everything you're looking at right there started with me being a young man who played the drums in my dad's church, and I built a drum set because my granddad had a music company and I could get discounts, a zildjian cymbals. I had the best of everything, and I played the drums for my dad, and a man who was a printer wanted a drum set for his son, and I wrote a book called Precious Promises for Believers. I guarantee you most of you don't have it because there's only 500 copies that exist in the world, and I've got one of them at least, and I traded a book that I wrote. He typed it out, typeset it, he printed it, and I traded him my entire drum set and everything that you see that exists in Voice of Evangelism in 49 years came into existence by giving up a drum set. And I'm glad. Okay? But all this, everything on that table started with one book. And the desire to reach people was in me because I knew if I only reached the people I preached to and could not reach people that were not there, I realized as a teenager I would not be able to reach the people that I desire to reach. So when we come to the year of 2019, 2021, I have been in ministry during the COVID time for 42 years of full-time ministry and written, again, 100 books. The Voice of Evangelism magazine, the editor and writer with that, our television outlines, had to write those, the outlines for Israel, how to put those together, all the YouTube programming, had to put that together, plus 150 messages every year from scratch. I never preach the same message twice. If I go to conferences, it is rare for me to preach the same message in a year. I preach it one time, I move to another message. So that's why there are so many new messages that had to be completed. Then during that same time, there was a study Bible. Now some of you, I don't have a copy of it up here, but the Old Testament's that thick, the New Testament's this thick, King James translation of the Bible, in which we did an entire over about a million word commentary on the Bible. We worked on that sometimes, no joke, 14 to 16 hours a day, and we worked on it just about 7 days a week, even when I was traveling on the road, and it took 7 years to totally complete it to the point where it was finally printed. In January of 2020, now you're talking about after years of going and years of traveling and, you know, 16 to 17 hours a day, I thought that I was, and I'm not saying this in a proud way, but I thought I was invincible. I had the energy to do it. I had the strength to do it. I was following my mentors, T.L. Lowry, you know, and I called myself a little TL, and then something bizarre happened to me in January of 2020, and I will never forget this as long as I live. The building over there on the right that you see is our lodge, and that lodge has a basement, has a middle section that will be eventually our relic museum, and it has a top section. In that day, and we're going back again to 2020, there were five offices with five different people on the top floor of that facility, And the walls are so sensitive, I promise you, that if you sneeze, everybody could hear you through the whole lodge. It was kind of funny. So you could hear every conversation going on. That's not always good, especially when I'm playing music loud and everybody's hearing my music and can't talk on the telephone, okay? And that happened occasionally. So I'm doing this work, and in January of 2020, I'm feeling normal. I've gotten out of bed. I feel okay. And I go from the desk where I'm at here to a table across, and I collapse. Everything from my waist down gave out on me. It was like someone had taken a bat. I didn't feel pain, but it's like someone taking a bat and hit me in the legs and just threw me down. And I went down and I was dizzy. I said, whoa, what is that? Well, your first impression is you must be extremely dehydrated, because I didn't drink a lot of water or something. Wow, boy, I must be dehydrated. Well, I went to get up. I couldn't get up. Had a Bible in my hand, and I said, you know what? I am too tired to get up. I'm going to lay here. I laid the Bible down, laid on my side, which is very uncomfortable, by the way, on a rug on the floor. And I didn't really go to sleep, but I just laid there until I felt like that I had the strength to get back up. Now, I started noticing in 2019, and this was not a result of COVID, because I didn't get COVID to, what was it, honey, March, I believe, or April of the next year. Wasn't COVID, but I remember brain fog started coming. And I, you know, the normal thing of, where did I put my keys? Where's my phone? We've all gone through that. Hello, help me preach now, somebody. Where are my keys? I know I had them, you know, and they're in your hand, right? It's like the guy years ago that was preaching, and he said, well, it's time for me to read my text. Where's my glasses? And he said, my goodness, I'm going to try to read them without. And he starts reading, starts screaming, I'm healed. He starts screaming and yelling at everybody's legs. He said, folks, what's wrong with you people? God has healed me. I've never been able to read my Bible without my glasses. And his wife said, stupid, they're on your head. She didn't say stupid. She said, silly, they're on your head. So I get sidetracked. I don't know why. But when I started getting the brain fog, I started thinking to myself, okay, something is a little off here. But maybe my mind is tired. And I'm telling you, I was forgetting things. I was not putting things together. And I was what we would call burning out in my head, burning out in my brain. And so what began to happen after that, I think it would have been probably around the month of March. It was so physically bad that my board demanded, they said, you need a health test, and you cannot be in ministry. You're going to have to step aside from preaching because you are killing yourself. And we can't have a dead preacher in a year or two. Well, I didn't know how serious it was. So we looked at several clinics, and they were all closed because of COVID. So a dear friend of mine, Randy White, called me. He said, Perry, there's a clinic in a certain part of the country. He said, I've actually been there. They're really smart. They're good people. It's not a Christian clinic, but you'll have the liberty to pray or do whatever you want. And I said, good. So I went out there to this particular place for a while. And when they took me to a doctor, I remember we had to wear a mask, and we had to stick that thing up our nose for COVID. Who remembers that? And I'm thinking, oh, this is crazy. So they let me in. We got there, and they took me to a doctor. So this doctor, I believe he was from Iran. He was a very nice guy, but you couldn't see what anybody looked like because everybody had a mask on. And he does all these tests. We're at one clinic. It's a blood test. It's a heart test. It's a stress test. It's this. And then he sits me down, and he says, do you want the results of this? I'm sure. I said, yes, sir. He said, you should be right now on the ground with a stroke, unable to walk or talk. And I said, and I know I'm weak physically. He said, no, no, sir, you're not weak physically. You got problems. My A1C was 14. My blood sugar was running 400. My ready for this? My blood pressure was past stroke level. And this guy looked at me, and he gave me all these horrible numbers, blockages around the heart, all this stuff. And I said, what do you recommend? He said, you, sir, have got to change your life. And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm in ministry. And I began to tell him some of the things I did. And he looked at me and he said this. And I had two doctors tell me this, the one at the Greenbrier, the one here. He said, if you don't change what you're doing now, you will not live in 2 years. I promise you, you'll be in a hospital with a stroke, unable to even move the rest of your life. The one at the Greenbrier said to me, do you want to see your daughter married? I said, yes, sir. He said, you change your lifestyle now or else. And, you know, I have a melanoma. Most of you know that. I guess I said that right for you nurses. Right in the back of my head. And sometimes you can feel the pressure when my heart beats of that thing, you know. We don't know if it's grown or not. We're going to have it checked again. So here I got this tumor in the back of my head. And here the guy's telling me that I'm about half dead. And one thing you don't want to do is you do not want to agree with a doctor when he says you're half dead. That's where your faith has to kick in. You say, whose report shall we believe? Isaiah chapter 53. But I really felt miserable. I mean, I just had no energy. I never can pronounce that word. Lethargical. I want to say lethargical. I think that came from Fred Stone up in the mountains. And I'm telling you, so what happened, what was bad is I wasn't in ministry. I wasn't here in town. And so everybody then starts their rumors. Oh, have you heard about Perry? He's dying. Really? Oh, he's near death right now. How do you know? Well, somebody told me who knew somebody who told somebody he's dying. Then he's got a brain tumor and his brain is a whole tumorous mass right now. In fact, they have rented out the entire top floor of a hospital just for him. President Trump maybe, but not Perry Stone. I wasn't at a hospital, okay? I heard that I had, and my voice did get messed up, but I heard I had voice cancer. Which was not diagnosed. I was not diagnosed with any voice cancer, but I heard I had voice cancer, that I would never be able to preach again. And, you know, there's a few people say, oh, praise God, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, but most of the people that knew us, they heard these different things. It was a health thing. He's near death. He'll never preach again. He won't be back at OCI. He has to retire from the ministry. This was what was being repeated. Now, did I feel like physically retiring? I want to tell you, yes. If I could have just stepped down and knew I have done the will of God and God was great in my life, and I'll just go hang out with my grandbabies and go do this, that would have been fine, because my physical body was not cooperating. My mind was not cooperating. My emotions were not cooperating, because I had literally, if I'm going to use a term that they use in the medical profession, burnt myself out to the point like you read in scripture. So you see, when you deal with these type of things, here's what you've got to understand. There's three ways problems can come in your life. Uninvited, and that uninvited is satanic plots. Self-invited, taking on too much cares, too much work, no resting, letting your guard down, and targeted, meaning that Satan uses people to target you as a part of challenging, bringing a challenge into your life.
It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Cahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, it is time to see signs and wonders for your children. And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, if I had one message to leave you, this would be it. We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers and the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25 ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25 ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25 ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other the other messages methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today. I've had this conference called the Main Event since the 1980s. And all the time I've had it, I do believe that the recent one that is available now through DVD, CD, and also through the MP3, the messages and the content of the messages were the most significant and important that I think we've ever had in the history of the event. And the one you heard just a portion today of the message, and then I want you to take the time to get either the DVD, CD, or what's called the MP3, which is the flash drive, because this is what helps us keep Manifest on the air. And in return, you're going to get all this dynamic information and revelation that our speakers brought to you. Now, Bill Cloud and I are doing a 2026 Behind the Scenes Prophetic Symposium, and it's 6 hours long. It is on February the 15th. It is a register only, and so what I want you to do, there'll be a little advertisement coming up in a moment, but I want you right now to go to peristone.org and look this up and register for it. We have limited space available, but if you'll get on now, we'll get you in on this symposium of 6 hours. Not only is it teaching subjects that are not going to be on YouTube and not going to be on social media and will not be on Manifest, I can promise you that, because of the controversy of what we're going to discuss, but it's going to be unedited, and we're going to have huge question and answer time, and we're going to settle some of the controversies taking place in the body of Christ. God bless you. Look at this, and I'll see you next week.
The world is shifting, and many sense it. Yet few truly discern the times. That's why Perry Stone and Bill Cloud are hosting an urgent one-day, six-hour prophetic webinar. On Sunday, February 15th, 2026, together, they'll reveal behind-the-scenes insight on global alignments, America's fragile position, and the controversies shaping today's culture, including the recent attacks on Israel by Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. This event is exclusively for registered viewers. No television, no social media, and limited viewing spots are available. Your donation of $10 or more grants full access, including the live Q&A. Registration is available only at perrystone.org. To secure your spot, go now to perrystone.org.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.